Hey, what's up, troopers? Welcome back to Trooper Archives, where we plan Welcome our back. Exit as we enter. This is Ace, and I was once the master.
I am Game, and now I am the master. All right, this is our Andor Episode 3 breakdown. Yes, that is right. Andor has been released, quote unquote, on Disney Plus on last September 21st, and there are 3 episodes out. And by this time, when we post it, Episode 4 will be out. But watch out, this Saturday we will release our breakdown on Episode 4. As you can see, we still have our main season of episodes from A New Hope that we're still, you know, filming. But, you know, after this, we'll be releasing every Saturday for our episode breakdowns for Andor.
That Let's is go right. Andor. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, anything for you, Ace?
No, it's just that, again, what we mentioned last episode for episode 2 of Andor is just leading into this episode, which is a very interesting episode. And I think we should just go right into it. Let's just dive into this episode 3 of
That is right.
Andor.
All right. Okay, so the first scene is we actually see Bix and Luthen. All right. So Luthen has arrived in Ferrix, and we see that Bix is hanging around in some sort of like I don't know,
ramen
outdoor
place.
Restaurant. It looks like a ramen place. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like a ramen house. But yeah, so we
blue
see
ramen. Might be blue ramen there.
Might be the takeout for the blue ramen. But yeah, so we see them. Bix sees Luthen and then catches up to him, and you know that these two knew each other for a long time already, for a long period of time, and I think this is not the first transaction between these two, and that Luthen was asking Bix that, can we trust him? Do you think he has what he says that he's trying to sell and everything like that? And Bix tries to reaffirm Luthen that Andor is our guy. So after this, we see a flashback on we go back to the flashbacks, and we see a young Cassian climbing up the Imperial ship. I think it's an Imperial ship. I don't really know if it's an Imperial Confederacy. I don't know. It was weird if it's an Imperial ship. As we discussed last episode, we have a Confederacy logo on one of the guys inside. And we see multiple dead bodies. Cassian sees a lot of the young Cassian sees
Cassian
a lot of
just
bodies.
Starts poking the dead bodies. Just poking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's yeah. So, dead body. You poke the dead body.
I don't know. It might be their culture, you know, poking dead bodies, right? You know, right and left. But you know, they are dead from an apparent gas leak, I think, and they have that yellow skin tone, not really good. And we see Marva together with her husband Clem.
Yeah, young Marva. We see.
Yeah, yes, you. Young Aunt Petunia and probably right. his husband Clem.
I've always liked that name Clem. It's just so. Like, you know what to expect from a Clem.
Yeah, true. So, I didn't know that this was an, in the present time. I thought I didn't know it was a flashback, to be honest. Because everything was right. Like, you know, in episode 1 and 2, it was kind of subtle. And then now in episode 3, it's kind of fast pace, episode. And we will know why later. Why it's fast paced, and we see Marva and Clem going through with B, going through in a ship. It's the exact same ship that Casa was there that was in.
Yes, exactly. Where he got the thing. He tapped in the previous episode. We see him tap the compartment, and it comes out, and that's where the tracker is. That box that he's going to sell, and it's the same ship. We see it here.
Yeah, true. So. we see how Marva tries to, you know, convince Clem, her husband, to take in young Cassian here, who was unconscious and everything. So, yeah, so they take him in, and then we go back to the present.
Well, they kind of drug him first. Sorry, I was talking to a different flashback. Sorry, at a different time in the flashback. But for this one, it was in the ship. It was in the crashed ship, and Marva decides to take Casa at the time.
Yeah.
With them, because she was pretty sure, she was certain that whatever happens, he's gonna die if they leave him. It's either they catch him in the ship, the Imperial sweepers or whomever's the cleanup crew, they're gonna catch Casa and probably kill him, or they'll see or in the tribe back in their home and still do an extermination. That's what she's saying. So she drugs him and takes him with Clem, and also a fully functioning B2 EMO.
Yeah, fully functioning. He's not stuttering or anything. So one thing that Clem mentioned, he warns Marva that a Republic frigate is coming and is fast approaching, so they should leave. And you see how this era is indeed in the Clone Wars, or probably post-Clone Wars era. Just put it out there. It is a Republic frigate that's coming for that ship. So probably it is the same ship that's maybe tracking that ship or chasing that ship throughout, you know, space and everything. So we go back to the present, and we see the security force led by Lieutenant Karn and Sergeant Mosk. And we see them from their big ship. It was a good ship, to be honest, because it was just for the purpose of carrying these mobile tag pods. All right, it looks like the Republic gunships from Episode 2, or from the Clone Wars, as we see them, and even in Episode 3 we see them. It's like, but it's a corporate ship. So this mobile tag pods deploy to the planet of Ferrix to arrest Cassian Andor. So the chase begins. The arrest is about to happen. It's on till the break of dawn. All right. We see them arrive at Marva's home. All right, and Marva tries to you know, nobody's here. I mean, I'm just alone and nothing. But these corpos, they don't work like the law. They're not police. They don't really need to follow, you know, anything, because they're in power. They control the system, so they just barge in and, like, you know, search around for Cassian, our hero.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? You know.
As they were preparing to come in, they said something like, "If anyone complains, just spout out this bureaucratic bullshit about, you know, having jurisdiction or whatever." So they were. Obviously, they have a right thing. The correct thing in their mind doesn't match with the correct thing in the world. So it's sort of like a skewed view of justice is what they're is what they're doing, right? And unfortunately for Andor, for Cassian, absolutely abysmal timing for him to contact via comlink B2 EMO.
Yeah,
just. Just as things were maybe it wasn't gonna work out, maybe it will, but with his call broadcasting through B's comlink, then the chase is on for real now.
For real. And you see the technology they have, they could actually pinpoint the technology that we have. You know how, you know, I don't know if that's true, but like in movies pertaining our own world, our own timeline, just a few minutes on the phone, they could actually track where the phone call is. And it's what not, Sergeant Mosk, yeah,
Yeah, it's not an outlandish notion for him to be able to track where Cassian is broadcasting from. So it was a good way to jump the chase on, or to progress the chase on.
Yeah, definitely. And so they kind of, you know, Sergeant Moss tries to, you know, instruct teams, you know, South team, East team, or whatever, the North team, to, you know, be in the proper areas of to properly arrest Cassian. And what happens is they leave two officers or security personnel with Marva, and they you know, they continue the pursuit. And so we shift the scene to Andor and Luthen meeting for the first time.
Finally.
And yeah, so it's like a, you know, a shady deal that's about to happen. And so Andor is asking 40,000 credits for the NS9 Star Path unit. And Ra'el responds with, "I want to know how you got that. Because, you know, there's a lot of fakes. You know, you could be swindling me. And I'm going to add another 1,000 credits for that information." So I kind of like get the, for me, for this, for the, for that first, you know, scene with Luthen and Andor, I think I know that Luthen is kind of trying to get more of this unit, maybe because he's supporting the rebels. Maybe he knows Saw Gerrera based on the trailer, them talking.
Or it could be just good business for him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, he could be a very, very, you know, he's very supportive of the rebellion in a sense, or the earliest part of the rebellion.
Or so.
But then again, you know, yeah, that's what we think. So he, Andor, without questions, because he needs to get out of there, and getting more credits means that his ticket to Ato Pharix is secured to Tassar, if I remember correctly. So Andor tells Luthen that he acquired the unit from an Imperial naval base in Stirgard. So that's where the famous trailer quote is: "You just walk in like you belong, you know, you belong." Because the Empire is too focused on, you know, grander things, that they fail to see that there's a spy, a mouse inside their house.
They're too fat and lazy.
I
love this. Yeah. It's such a powerful dialogue for him, coming from, like, seeing now where he came from, having that idea, and then being where he is. We don't know the in-between. We don't know how he got from, you know, from where he came, from his home planet, and to here, to where he is now, and just in the situation he's in. But it's such a powerful line to say that these people are so into themselves that they don't even see me coming. It's basically X-Wing versus the Death Star. It's basically, you know, a metaphor for that as well.
Yeah, true. And the Empire, because it's so big, it has a big navy, the largest navy in Star Wars history, I believe, with hundreds of thousands of capital ships or Star Destroyers. Just imagine. Hundreds of thousands of that? I mean, if I were them, I would be like, you know, I would underestimate a lot of stuff, like the X-Wing destroying our battle station, or this guy, you know, benefiting for the cause that doesn't really, you know, threaten the existence of the Empire at that moment, at least. So I think we get cut. Ra'el reveals somewhat what happened to Clem, who was Cassian's adoptive father, who was hanged.
That's right. Yeah. He knew about it. That's right. That was a big reveal. That was a big reveal from Luthen. Yeah.
And he's asking Cassian to come with him to fight these bastards, these the Empire, you know, like for real. Because like, you telling me this,
right,
you're actually contributing to the cause of the rebellion. So why not join me? You know, be involved, you know,
be part of it. That's right. Be actually part of the, you know, the group that's going against it, not just being annoying and being like a vandal and just trying to give him to get his buy-in and be part of the group that's disrupting the Empire. So it's a good way of, you know, trying to give the character of Andor that choice. It's a choice again. But it's not a very easy choice to make considering the situation that they're going to be in a few seconds. But it's more like you don't have to keep on doing what you're doing. You don't have to be on the run. You can actually go ahead and strike, you know, and strike and be at this hammer as part of the action against the Empire.
That's true. You know, you could contribute more. Not just, you know, like this, giving me a Starpath unit is beneficial to my cause, but, you know, you being able to retrieve it and having that mindset that you already have, you know, you'll be a great asset to the rebellion, you know? And by this time, the rebellion is being formed. There is no alliance. I think so. I think Luthen is just supporting one of the cells or a couple of cells in the rebellion.
Yeah, that's right. The timing. That's right.
Yeah, so the timing is that. So they're still trying to recruit, getting more sympathy so that they can actually take down the Empire, which is good. So we go back to another scene wherein the people of Ferrix are trying to do this warning sounds.
Yeah, that was,
with the metal clanking.
I didn't find it like an awesome thing to have, but it was okay. Like, it was, I think it showed like the common culture and understanding between all the residents of Ferrix. And they tried to make it ominous. It didn't sound too dangerous to me. I think if it were the guy with the two hammers, I think if it were him, I think it would have more like, I don't know, like more oomph to it, you know, instead of people just ratting on like tins and pieces of junk, you know.
Yeah, so I think based on my understanding of the situation is that they were doing it to make sure that everyone like lock up their homes, you know, be safe, you get off the streets because something's about to go down. You know, something's about to go down that might get you killed, you know, because these corpos don't really care who you are. They don't really care who they need to kill just to get to this man they're trying to get to, which is Cassian. I forgot to mention one thing about the scene where with Cassian and Luthen. He was pointing a blaster at Luthen, which actually resembles Kyle Katarn's Briar blaster in the first Star Wars Dark Forces. All right, Kyle Katarn is a expanded universe character. He's a Jedi that carries a blaster. So I guess he's a civilized and uncivilized at the same time.
No, not so civilized. Okay.
Yeah. So, it was a good shout out again to the expanded universe, as we can see little bits of it being placed back into canon by Disney, which is good. Shout out to the director and the writer of this series. But yeah, so we go back, and I believe the Norse team got them cornered, and they know.
Yeah, the North. That's right. Yeah,
the North team got them cornered. They were waiting for orders, and then Sergeant Fatso, Sergeant Mosk, wait for us there, something like that. because more forces would, you know, determine that they will be cornered and therefore they can't escape. But the thing happened is that Luthen already had plans, and he said, number one rule is never carry anything you don't control, and number two is build your exit on your way in.
That's right.
And then he clicks, a detonator, and then boom! Like,
and it's on.
Donkey Kong. Yeah, the door just slams, and then the people who are waiting, for further orders, most of them got injured, I guess, but most of them got in and tried to. So the shootout begins between. Yeah. Cassian's party and the Corpos. So what do you think about that?
So the shootout's happening. Cassian is trying to get the Starpath unit, but he just couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And it was during this scene that we find out that Luthen actually finds more value in Cassian than the Starpath unit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the Starpath unit is not the number one priority now. It's Cassian. I want Cassian to be with me. That's his priority now.
That's true.
They can get another Starpath unit. That's what I got from this scene.
Yeah. It was kind of good. You know, we're not gonna dwell much in the shootout, but it was kind of good, and it makes me wonder: was it really the Starpath unit that Luthen was after?
Exactly right.
Or he had Bix, Bix recommended Cassian to Luthen.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. It was a referral.
It was a referral. The whole trip wasn't about getting the Starpath unit, because if it was about the Starpath unit, Luthen would have said, "All right, get it," and then I'll have you. I have both of you. So
he wouldn't have needed to go in person. That's right.
Yeah, true. And it was a good scene, to be honest. And another scene is when we go back to Marva's home, and then the rattling sounds of the metal clanking was heard. And then we hear this. The two officers that were left were kind of like getting nervous at the same time.
Shut up.
And then it was getting to them. And then Marva says this line wherein that's what a reckoning sounds like. It's when it stops. It's when you really want to start to fret. That's a nice like line to add to the flavor of the scenes.
It was a low-key threat. Like,
it was a low-key threat.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the sound is just the start, guys. You know, if it stops, people are just gonna barge in and shoot you out. Something like that, Someone's gonna get me. Some sort of that scene. But yeah, so the fight breaks out, and we see they were actually gathering, waiting for Cassian and Luthen to arrive, because they tried to set up multiple teams with Sergeant Mosk and Lieutenant Karn set up in ambush position, in a street wherein they're possibly going to cross. And then when the sound stopped, it's the first ever Shaitwad. So Sergeant Mosk lets out a shit. It's an ambush. we're cornered. We're cornered. I think that's what he said. So yeah, so it kind of by 5BBY the Empire has been reigning for 14 years, that people were kind of getting tired of them, to be honest, because these corpos, if they were dicks in the Republic, we have Jedis and clones that will try to
it's probably the most power that they've had in a long time, maybe. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
That's why they're trying to keep it that way. Hence, the officer or the chief inspector that Karn was talking to in episode one wants to keep it that way by stating, we're all fine here, you know, nothing to see here. You don't really need to tap in, you know, no need to interfere. But then again, Karn kind of, you know, lets go of that option and tries to pursue Cassian. So, so the battle in the streets begin with... did you expect them to be in the house? Because Karn was positioned in a house on the right? And he was trying to wait for the ambush to start. And then he has a gun behind his head. It was Cassian.
Yeah.
Did you expect that scene?
Yes, because when Cassian and Luthen were in the alleys, and then they came across the three Jawa-looking people, the short people, Cassian has a look of recognition. Like, I know these guys. I know where they live. It's most likely that they were driven out of their homes because they would have stayed inside their homes during the reckoning. Probably.
Yeah.
So that's where they hid, and he was right. Cyril was there waiting, and I like the exchange as well. The good cop, bad cop type of threats. You know, I'll kill him, Luthen says. 14. There's 14 of us. 12 officers and one officer, two officers. He spilled the beans right away. He did not expect shit to go down this quickly and escalate this quickly. He was not expecting it.
And they were kind of the surprise that Cassian, they went in there to actually arrest one person with more than a dozen personnel.
Yeah, exactly.
And when they heard that there were two people, they were kind of like flustered and everything. And it was like, what? I mean, I guess they're not soldiers. You know, these guys in the real world are like security personnel only.
It's corporate. It's
corporate, you know.
A lot of big talk.
No IDs.
What do you call those words? Hot words, you know, like those kinds of words, you know.
Yeah. So, it was kind of cool, I guess. Because if Andor or Cassian tried to kill Karn, he's just like a bloody murderer. Like the whole series, so we kind of get that he's still performing some sort of, you know, he doesn't outright kill anybody who he likes. You know, he's not that type of rebel. He's not Saw Gerrera. He's not a radical person to begin with, because he, as we see in the first two episodes, he didn't even want to kill one of the dudes in the first episode. He was kind of flustered when he knew that the guy was dead because of him. And yeah, so we see a lot of character building up, you know, Cassian's character being unfolded right in front of our eyes with this scene that, you know, there's still good in him. And Luthen was just like, you know, get rid of him or something like that. And then they tie him up, and then eventually they shoot the one of the speeders, or not the speeders,
the old misdirection trick.
Yeah. It's like a land speeder, to be honest, but it's quite closed. And try to shoot it, and then I knew that it was a trap. I knew it was just like for
decoy.
Distraction. A decoy. And everyone was just like going through the wreckage as it, you know, goes down. And then it just explodes. And you see the face of Lieutenant Karn that he did not sign up for this. You know, dude. Instead of just two officers killed, you just escalated the numbers of deaths in your company. Like, if you followed orders, man, because good soldiers follow orders. But then again, you're not a soldier. You're a corporate rat.
Yeah, that's and, right.
You know, he got bit by his own, medicine there. And seeing Cassian and Luthen in a 74Z speeder bike, very fast, just plowing through the
same as is that the same as the speeders in Endor?
I don't think so. I think it's a different.
It's different. Oh, okay.
I think it's a different model, but same use still.
Yeah.
So they were just shocked, and then Sergeant Mosk was like, "Sir, we need to get out of here." It was like
the dude was out of it.
It was like, what have I done? It was like an Anakin moment.
I thought there was this was a sure bucket.
I thought 14 men will do it. But then again, it takes only two.
Oh man.
No, it takes only two to take down 14. So we see Cassian, you know, with Luthen, you know, the escape of from Ferrix begins. And the last scene is we see Cassian and Luthen escaping Ferrix, and Luthen is, you know, setting up the course. I don't know where they're going. And then Cassian has this flashback wherein it's Marva and Clem at the same scene. They're about to escape as well. And it kind of, you know, it's kind of, what do you call this? Ironic that another stranger tries to save his life. This is not the first time he was saved. And, you know, I think this gave him a little bit of, he owes... nostalgia. Yeah. It gives him a nostalgia for the scene, but it kind of gives a sense of he owes a Luthen for saving his life, and giving him this opportunity to serve whatever cause they're about to undertake. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
I just love the way they edited it, the way they mirrored the two scenes and just linking the same, it's basically the same scenario. He's being uprooted and being taken to another world, into another like stage of his life, a big transition to a different, completely different stage of his life. And I just love the way that they use this as the ending for the third episode, and also, you know, in anticipation for the fourth episode, which is going to be like a longer wait than having to have the three episodes right away. So that's a beautiful way of mirroring the two scenes.
I hope we get more flashbacks, to be honest, with Cassian.
I was thinking about this in the second episode. I was thinking I'm pretty tired of these flashbacks. I don't think I want to know more. And then from episode 3, I was like, oh, okay, I think it's going to happen regularly throughout. I think it's never going to stop. I think the flashbacks are never going to stop for Cassian.
Which is good, because I get what you mean with episode 2 and the flashback. It was kind of dull. There's no dialogue. A little
draggy, yeah.
Yeah, a little draggy. Kind of want to, you know, take a break from the series. Because, you know, there are some scenes that you kind of like pause and you want to do something else at first. And then you
This is where you can get popcorn or go to the bathroom.
Anyways, let's conclude this episode. I'm going to start. I think this episode was fast paced in a good way. Because we see a lot of action, we see a lot of blaster fire, a lot of characters revealed, not in particular like an introduction, but like a lot of character developments are revealed. Like Cassian has this kind of rogue spirit in himself that he just joined outright. He doesn't even know Luthen, being in the first moment he being kind of adamant to actually, you know, transact with him, and then now he's, you know, fleeing the system with him, and seeing Karn being
catatonic,
a trance. Being a trance of like, oh dude, what did I do? And you know, another good thing is that I think we're gonna get curse words at least in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
marking the end of this is a kid show. versus the Star Wars being everyone's show. It's for everyone, to be honest.
Yeah.
Every race, whatever age you have, Star Wars is for you. And yeah, what do you think to conclude this episode?
Yeah, no, it's everything you said. I completely agree. I absolutely am now looking forward to episode 4. And yeah, now I've changed my mind about the flashbacks. Keep the flashbacks coming. Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Let's do it.
Keep them coming. We need to see more. Why he ended up like that? What happened to Canary? A lot of questions. This series opened a lot of doors, and I hope it closes some that the other series, other content have opened. You know. Because that's the beauty of a franchise, you know? Yeah. A lot of questions are being asked and some are being answered.
Yeah, keep on building.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, we're going to end it up here. Please do follow us on TikTok at Trooper Archives. We release content. For that, please like and follow. Please like this video. Comment down below what you think. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that notification bell. For new updates of our new releases, because good soldiers follow orders. All right, I am Gabe.
This is Ace. This has been Trooper Archives. See you guys for the next episode.
See you guys. Pew pew.